We're seeing some light snow right now in Grand Rapids, 16 degrees, Brainerd at 17, Bagley at 15, Deer River also at 15, and Bemidji reporting 15 degrees, 17 in Ely.
And speaking of Ely, that's where we're going to start our program this morning, our talk back opportunity for you. If you've got a comment or a question you'd like to pass by us, you can do that by sending it to comments@kaxe.org. You can send them directly to me. My address is jlatimer, J-L-A-T-I-M-E-R, @kaxe.org. Or you can write us a letter. Our address is 260 Northeast 2nd Street, Grand Rapids, Minnesota, 55744. And of course, there's always the talk back line. You can call and leave a message in your own voice, and we're always happy to get those. That number is 218-9999-876. We heard from Steve Eisenmenger, who lives in Ely, Heidi. And Steve sent along a couple of pictures. He says, here's one for John. Never had a grackle in January in Ely. And he's got a nice little picture of the grackle. And he's right. I've never seen a grackle up here in the wintertime myself. So keep your eyes open if you're up in the Ely area. Maybe you'll see that grackle. And we heard from Joel Rosen, a familiar name to many of you. He said this refers to last week's talk about wind chill and humidity with Tornado Bob. My take is that humidity does make a difference in the winter. I'm along the Lake Superior shore fairly often in winter, usually in Duluth. And while the wind is almost always stronger than it is at home, the higher humidities close to the lake also seem to make a difference. You can feel the same effect by spending time on the East Coast in the winter, where humidities as well as temperatures are higher in the winter. 20 degrees with light wind feels as cold as a winter day near the Atlantic Ocean as 0 degrees with a similar light wind does in northern Minnesota, or at least that's my subjective memory. As far as wind chill goes, I find it depends on the kind of activity and how you're dressed. Most of the time, my activity in the winter is strenuous enough that I sweat. For this reason, I dress, especially from the waist to the neck, with layers that breathe and wick away excess moisture. With this kind of clothing, wind is pretty effective in penetrating the clothing and making a big difference in how I feel, even when I'm in the relative shelter of the woods. My boots, ski or pack, do not allow wind to penetrate, so the air temperature is the only factor that makes a difference to my feet. I haven't observed much new activity at the bird feeders lately. Evening and pine grosbeaks are spending more time feeding each day with the arrival of the more normal winter temperatures, while red poles are pretty irregular visitors. I did have a second visit from a northern shrike about a week ago. And that from Joel. And then we got this note from Eric. And Eric said, Laura commented on the golf courses and electronically recorded bird songs last week. We thought of her story when we saw a large bird eating a squirrel at the Como Golf Course in St. Paul. And he sent along a picture, and it looks like, I don't know, maybe a red-tailed hawk. It's a large bird, and it's definitely dining on squirrel, which I guess is, you know, the way the world works when you're a squirrel. You've got to be on your toes, or you're going to be in somebody else's stomach. And that's what happened to this poor guy. We heard from, we actually had a comment last week from Michael DeMars where he talked about some of the birds at his feeder, and he and I engaged in a little conversation. I got this note from him. First of all, he said, I'm west of Bemidji. Another fun observation I wanted to mention is the barred owl that has been hanging around our yard for a couple of weeks now. It just sits up in the trees for hours waiting for the mice and voles to pop up from under the snow. I have been able to catch a couple of pictures that turned out pretty good. I've attached a picture for you, and thank you for years of fun listening. And that from Mike DeMars. And finally, let's see. Oh, yeah, well, a couple more, actually. Vicky, who sent us a picture of the leucistic evening grosbeak, said, thank you for mentioning our unusual bird. We continue to see small flocks of evening and pine grosbeaks at our sunflower seed feeder every day. The evening grosbeak flock seems larger today. The feeder platform has some of the flock also, but it is out of view. This flock started and flew off. They angle high very quickly. The flight pattern of the leucistic bird appears to be the same as the others. And we hadn't seen the leucistic bird for quite a while, but it returned here today. And that would have been just last Sunday. So it's still hanging around up there. It's a very unusual looking evening grosbeak. And it's pretty obvious that it's an evening grosbeak. And our final email this week comes from Dale Nichols. And Dale says, I was pleasantly surprised this week to have a pair of white-winged crossbills visiting my feeder. I first saw them on Tuesday, January 26th, and they were still here on Sunday, January 31st. Although their bills are adapted to extracting seeds from spruce cones, they don't seem to have much trouble eating sunflower seeds. They make a colorful and interesting addition to the regular winter contingent of chickadees, nuthatches, woodpeckers, and blue jays. I also have a pair of cardinals that have been coming to the feeders since early last spring. For a couple of weeks at the end of summer, I had two or three juvenile cardinals that would sit on the feeder and beg for seeds from their mother, but I haven't seen them since. Thus far this winter, I've had no pine grosbeaks, evening grosbeaks, nor red poles that other people in the area have reported, and only a couple of pine siskins. That from Dale. And Dale, I'd say, if you got white-winged crossbills, you're doing pretty good. It's a pretty good week at the bird feeder when they show up.